served as the President of the United States from 1969 to 1974. After his first 4 years in the White House, he amassed over 60% of the popular vote in 1972, getting reelected, and it was a huge landslide. I think he had over 18 million votes, which was a huge margin. And with the exception of Franklin Roosevelt, only Nixon's been nominated by his party for high office in five different national elections, three times for president and two times for vice president. Time magazine put him on the cover 56 times. But with all of these accomplishments, when we think of Richard Nixon, we think of scandal. We think of corruption. And in August of 1974, amidst all the scandal and pending impeachment, Richard Nixon resigned as President of the United States of America. David Gergen wrote a book called Eyewitness to Power, and he spoke with a man named Ray Price, who was one of the speechwriters for Nixon. And he learned from him, and Gergen said this, "One of the first lessons about public life I discovered is to choose your mentors wisely." So Nixon was blessed with this very, very bright side, they said, that the public didn't always see the dark, thunderous aspect that he had. But inside the White House, the people who worked closest to him knew there was this huge struggle underway between the people who naturally appealed to his better qualities and to the ones who played upon his demons and his darker sides. And Ray Price, who worked with him as a speechwriter, said, "Our job is to strengthen his positive instincts." And they said if that side prevailed, that really Nixon had the capacity for huge, enormous achievement as a leader. There was a team of people who believed that Nixon had within him this capacity to be a statesman who could really build a lasting structure of peace that he dreamed about. But there was another side of Nixon, and this one was insecure and secretive and angry and vindictive, and it lurked underneath the exterior and was rarely seen except by those closest to him. It was easy, Ray said, for advisors to exploit that darker side of his nature. And they'd warn him of the enemies at the gate, and they'd urge swift, brutal action to be taken. And one of these advisors that really spoke to his darker side was Chuck Colson. He preyed upon his resentments, he goaded him into swiping at his enemies, and then he carried out all these wild instructions that Nixon had without working with the rest of the staff or checking with anybody else. And even though Colson wasn't a great advisor, Nixon was a grown man. He should have had the inner strength to say no to him, but the truth is, he wanted people like that around him and wanted the people who spoke to that side of his nature. And because of all of the things that happened and the abuse of power and the corruption under Nixon and his administration, 25 people were sent to prison. Others faced indictment, including two attorney generals, several top officials in the White House. And when the investigations finally came out, there were illegal break-ins, money laundering, perjury, obstruction of justice, abuse of power, conspiracy, wiretapping. And this scandal of Watergate showed this huge abuse of power at a really, really high level of office. And here's what David Gergen said. He said, "Leadership matters. At a moment of crisis, the quality of a nation's leader can be decisive. It matters how leaders handle power. It also matters how those around them, their advisors and mentors, do as well. Who are they listening to?" And it was so interesting reading this in the history and reading about Nixon, because the idea of these advisors who will influence you for good or for bad, as important as that is for the leaders that are in our companies and in our nation and in our homes and in our organizations, it is incredibly important for us as well. Who are we listening to? Who are we letting influence us? Because feedback in our life matters. We need the voices of other people telling us and influencing us and helping us, but the right kind of feedback matters even more. Because the truth is, we all have people chirping in our ear and telling us things, and some of these people are speaking to our noble side, our better sides. They want to see us succeed. They want to see us be healthy and grow, and they want to see us do the right thing. But then we have other people who want to speak to our darker side, our darker nature. They don't care if we succeed. They are aren't there to help us and encourage us. Their words are filled with criticism and harshness, and they either want to tear us down or help us tear other people down for their own personal agendas. So the question becomes, what kind of feedback are we receiving in our life? Who are we listening to? And whose words are we letting direct us in how we choose to go about doing life? To grow and become better people and really live out that full potential God's given us, we all need healthy feedback. And so we're going to go back to Proverbs again, and we're going to check in for this idea of wisdom on how to live well. And this is what it says in Proverbs. A fool despises his father's instruction, but whoever heeds reproof is prudent. Now, when we were younger, it felt like there was constantly feedback. Do you remember this? Like way back in the day, like it was a normal part of life. There was always somebody telling you how to do something better, right? Like at home, it was clean your room, do the dishes, finish the job that you started, or, you know, talking about what you did in this situation, or treating your siblings better, or talking to your parents better. And at school, we got constant feedback. We immediately knew if we got the answers right or got the answers wrong or did it the right way or the wrong way, and we knew exactly how it worked. And at a certain point, because we were teenagers and we knew everything, we got sick of all of this, and we grew weary of being told what we were supposed to do, and we didn't want to be told anymore, and we didn't want to be corrected, and we didn't want to be scolded or reminded that there was a better way. We wanted to do it by ourselves, and we branched off on our own and made our own decisions and blazed our own path, made a ton of mistakes, and learned a lot of the things we learned were the right things and how to actually do those. But we learn so much along the way. But part of growing and learning and wisdom is healthy, constructive feedback on how we're doing. How do we know that we're doing a good job? How do we know that we're doing the right thing the right way? In life, at work, with our family, with our friends and our communities, how do we know that we're learning, growing, and building on our faith? How do we know where we missed the mark? Because guess what? I like to think I'm always right. I like to argue that I'm always right, but we're off the mark sometimes. And how do we know when we aren't getting it right or where we need to improve and do better? Feedback is this super awesome tool that helps us evaluate where we are and where we have room to grow. Now, I do want to be clear, because I think there's a difference between feedback and criticism, and most of us are used to criticism. Most of us are used to the hurt, the pain that comes along with criticism. So let's set these two apart so we have a really healthy context for what we're thinking about. When we talk about feedback, it's corrective information. The goal of feedback is to learn from an action, an event, a process, something you said, something you did. It's input with the goal of helping you do better. Now, on the other side is criticism, and criticism is usually harsh and negative. I mean, I know we call it constructive criticism, but usually it doesn't feel constructive. It just feels hurtful and makes you feel stupid. And usually it's tearing something apart, and it's nitpicking all of the wrong, and always leaves you kind of feeling worse about yourself or something you did. So feedback is the idea of building you up so you can learn and grow. Criticism is just telling you everything you do wrong all of the time. So there's a difference in how we share these ideas with each other. And here's the truth. It's always uncomfortable to hear about where we aren't getting it right. We want to have these big pictures of ourselves in our mind because we struggle with insecurity, we struggle with vulnerability, we struggle with the struggles, right? And so we want everybody to like lift us up and encourage us. But there's no growth without feedback. We never develop mastery without hearing constructive ideas on how to grow and get better. I know it feels better to be told how great we are, but we don't learn that way. If that's all we ever hear is you're awesome, you're great, you're amazing, we never change, we never grow, and we never learn. I love this idea. James Clear said it. He's an incredible author about like habits, and he said most people don't want accurate information, they want validating information. Most of us, like, don't tell me the truth, just make me feel better, right? Like, that feels better for my own well-being. He said, but Growth requires you to be open to unlearning ideas that previously served you. Part of growing up, part of maturity in our faith and our life and our relationships is unlearning things that don't serve us well, unlearning things that we thought were right, but they don't play out in real life. There's the challenge, right? Do I just want to feel better about myself, or do I want the truth so I can really, really grow? The wisdom, this is what the wisdom from Proverbs reminds us. The fool despises his father's instruction. Remember, Proverbs loves the contrast between the foolish person and the wise person, right? The foolish person, they can't be corrected. They can't hear feedback. They won't listen to it. They get annoyed with you, mad at you. They resent you for it. They can't hear anything about them that isn't how great you are. They think they know everything, and they don't need anything from anybody else. Whenever you try to offer a foolish person feedback, they ignore you, or they criticize you, or they're like, who do you think you are? Like, I need to listen from you. Have you? I'm saying this, and in your mind, you're picturing somebody right now you've had this conversation with. The challenge is, where have I been that person? Where have I had somebody who was genuinely trying to help me and really trying to call out something better in me, and I was the foolish person who was annoyed with what they were saying? In contrast, we have the wise person. Whoever listens to correction is prudent. And I want to help us understand this word prudent, because we all have ideas of, you know, like a prude or what that looks like. And that this is a form of wisdom. It's good sense. It's the kind of person who does the right thing at the right time. And it's interesting because it's attached to like craftiness and shrewdness. Like, it's the kind of person who uses all of their skills to succeed, not in underhanded ways, but in wise, correct ways. So in searching how to do life in the very best way, the person who will listen to feedback is prudent because it makes good sense. It clicks and it's right, and we're open to correction. Which means we have to create space in our heart and our mind to hear this kind of direction. We have to be open to correction and connections that help us think about doing life better. The goal of life isn't just to feel better about myself. It's not just to get myself as comfortable as possible so that I never have to hear anything negative, but how do I grow? How do I keep becoming the person that God has created me to be? And the point of this, we have to keep saying it again and again and again because we've learned this the wrong way. The point isn't to beat each other up. The point isn't to like take a swing at each other like, ha, this is my chance. I've got my laundry list of every terrible thing that you've ever done, and I'm going to pull it out, and I'm going to prove how terrible you are and how good I am. Like, if that's the goal, that is not the person that we should receive healthy feedback from. The goal isn't to tear each other down, but to build each other up. Think about it in your relationship, like with our kids. We correct our kids because we love them, because we want what's best for them, and we want to help them learn how to grow to be a fully functioning, independent adult, right? The goal of childhood is help them to become an adult so they can live on their own and make their own healthy decisions. Now, all of our kids have things they think they should be allowed to do, and they get frustrated with us when we put boundaries into it, right? Like, my kids think they should be able to stay up as late as they want, eat whatever they want, and do electronics all the time, like all the time. And so those are the things, like, we have to have boundaries there, not because I don't want them to have fun and not because I don't want them to enjoy all of the things and not because I don't want their company, but because I love them and I want what's best for them. And I know if they don't get the right amount of sleep, they're miserable. I know if they eat whatever they want, there's a consequence, right? Our bodies are really good at letting us know, like, hey, that was too much, and then we're sick. And we have stomach aches, or we end up in a bad space. And I know if I let my kids do too many hours of electronics in front of the screen, they are glassy-eyed comatose and not their best version of themselves. Their well-being, their relationships, their hearts matter. And as parents, we correct them, not because we think they're terrible or not because we want them to have a hard life, but because we want what's best for them. because we love them and we want to set them up for success. Do you know that you have a God who loves you like a dad loves his kids? And he wants what's best for you. And when he corrects us in life, it's not because he's mad at us. It's not because he's got something against us and he wants to squash us or hurt us or beat us up or tear us down. But because a dad loves their kids and wants to help them grow, God, your Father, loves you and wants to help you grow. And because we're his kids, because he sees our potential and wants us to have the best life we can, he offers correction and reproof and discipline to help see us grow. And here's the tension for us. How do we see this as an opportunity and not an insult, right? I can't remember, forgive me, I'm not gonna be able to quote the right person, but they said, whenever you're in these moments of tension, what if instead of getting angry or mad or defensive, you got curious? And you got curious and started asking questions. So rather than resisting the information, you could be open to hearing things in a different way. I love that idea. I'm not gonna say I've mastered it yet by any means, but I keep thinking it and going back to it because it matters. If I could be curious about this instead of angry or defensive, how does that help us grow? And if we really wanna set out to be these people who live well and do the right thing at the right time and master the skills of life, who develop our strengths and grow into our full potential, we have to become friends with feedback. We have to really make space and have time in our life with the idea that, look, number one, we don't know everything. I know sometimes we feel like we do. I know some of us can argue this point into the ground that we know it and you're wrong and I'm right. But look, we don't know everything. In fact, anytime I have this running in my mind that I know more than you or I don't need to hear this from you or I know everything I need to know, there should be like a red flag waving in my mind like, no, you are way off base because there's no point in my life where I will ever know everything. And you may know a lot. You may have awesome degrees and you may have incredible life experience, but there's still more to learn, more to understand and more to be taught and more to be curious about, more to figure out, more to get better at in our own lives and more places that we have to grow. Which means there are people who are smarter than us. And that shouldn't prick our insecurity. That shouldn't make us feel stupid or bad about ourselves. Like, when you're around somebody who's smarter than you, instead of feeling insecure about what you don't know, it's an opportunity to learn from somebody who does. How could you know everything they know when your life experience has been different? You didn't go to the same school or read the same books or have the same history. You have your own. And both of those are awesome places. Now, how do we partner and learn from people who are smarter than us? The world is filled with brilliantly smart and kind people, people who've lived incredible lives and learned amazing things and overcome impossible circumstances. And if we get to be around people who are smarter than us or have different backgrounds or experiences than us, look, we get to learn from them. I can grow by spending time listening to them. People who have a different background than me or study differently than me or overcame crazy different obstacles than me. Their wisdom, their experience can be the thing that helps add value and learning to our own lives. Ask questions. The next time you're going to be around somebody smarter than you, like, write down three questions that you'd really like to figure out and just say, hey, could I pick your brain and just ask you a couple of questions and see what you might learn from the time. We can all be super intentional about who we receive feedback from because it's trusted people in our life that we're gonna get feedback from. People who are close enough to know us and they know who we are, they know who we wanna become, they know our past, they know our goals. You're not just gonna walk up to like some stranger in the grocery store line and be like, hey, I got a question for you, right? Like, they don't know you. They have no value to add. Social media is not the place we go searching for feedback, right? It's the place where you can feel really bad about yourself or torn down by other people, but it's not the place that we look for feedback. We want to look to people that know us well, a family member, a friend, a trusted coworker. I love Brené Brown calls it your square squad. She said, you should be able to put the names of these people on a piece of paper that's 1 inch by 1 inch, and that's your people when you need feedback, when you need to, like, get constructive, healthy learning ideas. Hey, how did I do there? What did you think? Do you have any feedback, any advice? Those are the people that you go to. She said, it's people who love you because of your vulnerability and imperfections, and they shouldn't be yes people. I know we've got, like, maybe, hopefully, some yes people in our life, but we don't want just people to, like, only sing our praises. That's great, and it's necessary, but we also need people who respect us enough, I love how she says this, to rumble with our vulnerabilities. They're able to talk through the things that are challenging to us and help us think about them. So, look, I don't know everything. There are people smarter than me. I can learn from them, but guess what? We can add value as well. We can be the kind of people who offer meaningful feedback to people in our life, like our kids, dads. This is the day that we think about how special you are and how amazing you are, and your kids need you. They need your encouragement and your help and your wisdom and your insight and your wisdom and all of your experience. Your kids need you to help guide them and teach them and correct them. And yes, even push those boundaries that makes mom stress out because it's too scary to watch happen, so we have to not look. Like, but yes, our kids need you to push those places to show them what they really can do. Parents, it's a privilege that we've been given the kids that we have to raise. God said, hey, I think these are the kids that belong with these parents, and you can raise them and love them and grow them and encourage them. And God thought they needed us, and he put us together as a family. Our families need us to offer healthy, valuable feedback that helps build each other up and encourage one another. You could be a trusted voice to people in your life. A place they can go to say, hey, how did that go? Do you have any ideas on what worked, what didn't, or how it could be better? All with the goal of helping and encouraging and building up. I love it. It's accountability without shaming, right? Like, how do we do this in a way that holds us accountable to do better, but without shaming you or making you feel terrible in the process? Where could you add value to somebody else? Where could you be a trusted source of feedback in your home, at work, with your friends, in the community, in a life group here at church where we get to, like, bump into each other and learn together and do life together? I want to give us, we got to make this practicable, right? Like, how do we do this? How do we actually do this? And there's, I read an article this week by a woman named Susan Heathfield, and she said, here are some steps on how to receive feedback with dignity and grace. Okay. If this matters, it helps us be the people of good sense and prudence. How do we do this well? She says, number one, you have to control your defensiveness. That's the thing that, like, bubbles up inside of you, like, the second somebody's like, I want to help you out here, da-da-da-da-da, and you're like, no, right? Like, you want to push back, or you get angry, or you start justifying things, or you feel hurt. Like, try to check your defensiveness, because it stunts the process of growth. If the person is genuinely trying to help, your defensiveness makes it harder for people to share the truth with you. And we don't ever want to get in a position where we're so prickly, our defensiveness is such a barrier that people can't speak truth in our lives and help us. All right, two, we want to listen to understand. And I know, like, when we talk, we want everybody to understand us. And so usually we're, like, waiting for, like, the break in the conversation so, like, we can jump in with what we have to say and we can make things make sense from our understanding or our perspective, why it's this way or why we did it. Like, again, those are all forms of defensiveness. But instead, what if we listen with the goal of understanding what the person is really telling us? It keeps our heart open and our mouth shut. There are times where saying nothing is so much better. And look, I get it. I have things to say. I have opinions. But maybe every once in a while, just keeping our mouth shut and our heart open is as healthy for us as the feedback that we're hearing. She said, next, try to suspend judgment. Before you make up your mind and just dismiss what somebody's telling you, right? Like, they don't know, they don't understand, they've not been where I've been, or they don't have to do what I have to do. Like, listen all the way through. Remember why you've put yourself in this place. Remember who it is that's talking to you, right? If they're a trusted person, if they're part of your square squad, like, they love you, you love them. They want the best for you and you want the best for them. So before you make a judgment, just listen all the way through. She said, then go summarize and reflect what you've heard. So rather than using that voice inside of you that like wants to argue or deny or formulate your response, like, okay, I'm gonna say this, I know what they're gonna say, focus on making sure that you really understand the point of view that you're receiving. Spend time thinking about it. Write it down, take notes so that you can revisit it at another time. Then you can ask questions to clarify. Make sure you're hearing it right. Make sure you're understanding the feedback that you're hearing. You can ask for examples, like not in a, you need to prove to me that that ever happened way, but like in a really legitimate, could you give me an example of this? Could you share with me a time that you saw that happen? And then let the examples be, again, not ammunition, but ways to see things through a different way. Keep it in perspective. You know who you are. You know who you want to be. You know who you're trying to become. You know who you were and where you've grown. Be approachable. If we ask for this, if we put ourselves in a position to learn here, we can't be grouchy, angry, hurt, or frustrated. We have to be open and engaged with the conversation. And then here's the last one. Check with others. Who else is on your little square squad that you can connect with? Like, hey, I got this feedback. Not trying to prove them wrong, but seeing what other sources of information that you can get. Instead, it helps you keep learning and gather more insight and grow. Friends, please hear me. This is a gift. This idea that God gives us about feedback and correction, it's an opportunity to learn how to live life well and grow. It helps us process how we can improve and how we can get better. And look, we make mistakes. We mess up. We have days where we don't get it right. But the wise person learns from it, grows from it, and goes back at it again. The wise person has people that will speak truth into their life, who will advise them not to their darker side or the person they don't want to be, but sees the nobility and the goodness in you and speaks to that side of who you want to become. God's given us this tool, this incredible opportunity, because he loves us. Because he wants what's best for us and wants his kids to grow into the men and women he's called us to be. So what if we practice this idea together this week? What if you start with your little piece of paper and you write down your square squad? Write down three names. Just start with three people that you can look for feedback in your life. Three people that you trust and who care with you and are safe places to rumble through the things of who you want to become. And don't just like general feedback, like make it specific. Ask questions that really help you be intentional. Listen, I'm trying to grow and become a better person. Do you see any areas in my life that I could do better? Or hey, I'm trying to go in this specific area. Do you have any suggestions or helpful ideas? Or something like, you know, I'm trying to learn from other people. Like, do you have any like things that you have best practices in your life that have helped you grow? And you can think about it from your work experience, your home experience, your friend experience, your family experience. If we start with this idea, God said it's a wise practice to put into our life. And if we could keep our hearts and our minds open, friends, who knows what God might do and what learning we might be able to put into life that not just helps us be a better person, but helps our family be better families, our church be a healthier church, and has an influence of good all the way out into our communities. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you would help us. I pray that you would help us to think about this challenging idea and how we can practice it in our own life. I pray, Father, that you would connect us to the right people that are trustworthy and kind and can speak truth with grace into our heart, into our lives. Thank you that you are a God who loves us enough to correct us. Thank you that you are a God who wants what's right for us and creates healthy boundaries on how to do life well. I pray, Father, that you would help us to hear your words, to practice them, and to be the men and women you've called us to be. I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.